Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Welcome back. We are live in the Capitol Rotunda, and Senator Nick Schroer just sat down with me here from District 2, and I started looking at the bills he's pre-filed. You have been a busy man.
I have been.
Wow.
It's a lot of things that we need to address this session, and hopefully we can get off on the right foot.
Yeah, no kidding. There's so many of them, but the one that caught the one I love the most is the President Donald J. Trump Highway, the bill that would rename that in St. Charles, right?
Absolutely. We're going to make roads great again in St. Charles County. I know MoDOT's doing their best to stand in the way, not plowing the roads, but it's between D and T. So I kind of figured it's like, you know, perfect change for that name would be changing the D to Donald and T to Trump.
That's perfect. I love that. So you mentioned, I saw you even posted something about the road conditions in the greater St. Louis area, because I posted something about it. I don't understand how it could be that radically different from where I get on the highway at 94 and 40 toward downtown. The lanes on 40 were clear to the bridge. You get in St. Louis County, you're lucky if there was one lane open.
Right.
2 days after that snowfall,
you know, it's embarrassing to see just the how effective the cities and the counties are at cleaning their roads, and even the HOAs that are privatizing this and contracting it out to private entities. And then you look at the roads that MoDOT is supposed to clear, and we're going on day three. And I've got people in my district that are doctors, that are nurses, that are still going virtual because they can't, in good faith, put themselves and their families on the road.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty surprising. I want to get to a couple of these bills that you pre-filed, because obviously – you know, everybody who listens to this show has heard my complaints about Senate leadership down here last year. You guys were targeted. You, Bill Igel, Denny Hoskins had your parking spots taken away, all because they were mad that you wanted a vote on IP reform, which obviously still never happened. You must have pre-filed 40 bills here. I mean, what's your priority in getting those to a committee hearing?
Well, my priority to get them all heard is pretty high. Getting them to the Senate floor, that's another big item for me. But yeah, you said, you know, there's 40 there. I think I've got several others that are in the hopper right now. But most of them are coming from constituents.
Yes.
You know, the anti-red flag bill, the changing the election day for school board members to November. These are bills that are very important to our district that when you look back in the Republican history, they've been filed previously, but they either haven't gotten a hearing, they passed one chamber. So these are very important bills to my to my district. But looking at some of the big priorities that kind of mesh with Kehoe's agenda is crime, dealing with the crime in the city of St. Louis that's, you know, making people and businesses flee the city of St. Louis. Looking at our economy, we need to do something with tax cuts. I know a lot of people prioritize, and I filed a bill on income tax cuts. I filed a bill on personal property tax cuts. And quite frankly, whatever gets done first, to put more money back in our pockets and let us spend it the way that we want to. And as you've seen with MoDOT, the government doesn't know how to spend our money better than we do. Education reform. These are three things that Governor Kehoe has indicated are his priorities. It's a welcome change to hear what a governor is wanting to do rather than the past 4 years. We haven't had any idea what the governor was wanting to do. But yeah, hopefully we can get off on a fresh start next week. I'm hearing that we're going to get our committee assignments, hopefully figure out what committees we're going to be chairing if we're members of the Freedom Caucus. And, you know, after that, start getting these bills heard immediately.
I know one of the bills you pre-filed was relating to abortion, right, and trying to protect life. Right. So what does that bill include? And what are the odds you think that we actually can get some traction here and try to counter what was sadly passed in November?
So I've got two different approaches on that. As you know, back in 2019, I was the sponsor of the Heartbeat Bill. I worked with several different members on getting a very comprehensive bill done. Amendment 3, I think, is unconstitutional. The way that it was put on the ballot, the way that it was constructed, the way that the lies, the media portrayed this amendment, we need to go back and fix a lot of what was happening. And one is giving another bite at the apple to the voters, similar to Clean Missouri and Cleaner Missouri, where we were lied to with all of the commercials and what was in the bill, what wasn't in the bill. We put an amendment back to the voters. They voted on it, and they learned. They learned from their mistake. And that's one approach that myself, Senator Schnelting, many others, even Senator O'Laughlin has said, we're going to try to get one of these SJRs, this Senate Joint Resolution, back to the voters and dealing with that and outlawing the horrific act of the gender mutilation and minors, hormone blockers, puberty blockers. But the other approach is statutory. And when you look at what was passed in Amendment 3 dealing with reproductive health care, they didn't define what reproductive health care
no,
is.
No, they didn't.
And one of my bills, and I filed so many I don't know the number right now, but one of my bills is defining what reproductive health care is and what it isn't. And what I say is it's not abortion. It is not these gender reassignment or sexual reassignment surgeries. That's going to be litigated 100%. I know it's going to be, but that, you know, that's one of the flaws in Amendment 3 is that they left so many questions to be litigated and decided by the courts.
That is SJR 23.
Correct.
And the fact that it's a joint resolution means you want trying to get it on the ballot, correct?
Correct. So yeah. The only way we're going to modify Amendment 3 or allow voters to have a second bite at that apple is right. To put it back on the ballot. Governor doesn't sign it. If it's passed by the House and the Senate, it goes directly to the ballot.
So when would we vote on that, theoretically?
Yeah.
So the governor gets to decide. When is that?
The governor would get to decide what election. And I would say it's got to be in a November election when we're going to have the most Republicans coming out. You know, there's nobody that I know of that brings out Republicans like Donald J. Trump. He's not going to be back out on the ballot. So trying to tie it to an issue or an election where there's going to be a lot of turnout for the Republicans.
I love that. You know, Nick, you were talking to Senator Nick Schroer. You brought up this idea of moving school board elections to a general election day.
Right.
I love that. It's such common sense.
Right.
I mean, the problem we have, whether it's Francis Howe or Wentzville or Rockwood or any of these districts, Lindbergh, where we've tried to get somebody with a little bit of common sense on these boards is that the NEA they buy those seats.
Right.
They have so much money. The national NEA can spend unlimited amounts of money, it seems like, to get these people elected.
That's
this,
right.
I know this has been tried before. What's the resistance? Who fights it?
Well, you hear some of these school boards saying, well, you know, we don't want to politicize our races. Well, they are politicized. When you look at the NEA,
it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, from advocating for lockdowns to the gender madness, the woke madness, this is being politicized. And yeah. Like you said, we just want people that are common sense, that are going to take politics out of education and concentrate on what's best for our kids and moving them forward. And you look at the test scores right now, it's atrocious. You also look at the turnout in these April elections. And it's atrocious.
Right.
The only people that are coming out are those that are connected to the NEA. And, you know, you've got 3, 4, 5% turnout in deciding the future of your children's education. No, let's move that to, again, to an election that's going to have a greater turnout,
right,
a wider turnout, and actually getting rid of the April elections and moving it to one of the other days in August or November. I prefer November. That's actually going to save the state money, so you don't have to monitor and have an entire separate election.
But getting back to my question, who's against that idea? I mean, are there lobbying groups down here that will lobby your fellow senators and House members against moving that?
Yeah, and generally they're connected with the NEA.
Okay,
when
so
you look
they're
at
education
paying,
related, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. What a shame.
It is. It is. And that's, you know, I've been advocating for a long time. This is why I decided to run for office and why I decided to finally jump in and run for Senate is we need people that are beholden to the people, that are beholden to the Constitution and the people and not party or lobbyists. We see in D.C. or even in the state of Missouri, sometimes our party screws up and we need strong conservatives that are going to stand up and say, well, wait a second, let's sit back for a second and evaluate this thing and not just go hook, line, and sinker like Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats do all the time. We should be a party of policy.
It's dumbfounding to me, and I think to many other people, including some people who commented on our Facebook page this morning, that we have a supermajority, and yet things that should be so easily passed just are not. Is it because we have a lot of people who run on conservative values, and then as soon as they're elected, it's like a flip of a switch? Is it the lobbyists? Yeah. What's at play here?
Well, I think it's all of that. I think that you do have people that run, they have good intentions, and maybe they've never had to stand up for their beliefs before, so they cower to the lobbyists. Or all of a sudden they're a chairman of a committee and they've got this power, which goes to their head. But, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm advocating for people that if you're sick and tired of it, if you're sick and tired of having a supermajority Republican Party and seeing that we haven't done anything with the income tax, with personal property tax cuts, those are bills that were filed by Catherine Hanaway when we took when we took the majority
20 years ago.
Yeah. And we still haven't been able to get that thing done. So if you want stronger conservatives, if you want stronger representatives and senators, put your name on the ballot or call them. Come down to the Capitol. I know last year we had a massive amount of people in here, hundreds of people that were advocating for initiative petition reform. And we got it as far as we did, the farthest it's ever gotten in my time up here.
I was here. So let's talk about the Freedom Caucus for a minute. So is it still intact? Is it still going to have a voice down here? Because, I mean, obviously, Denny Hoskins is gone, and Bill Eigel's gone, and Bob Anders is in Congress now.
Yep.
So you've lost three key cogs in that wheel.
I think we're stronger than ever, though.
Good.
You know, Denny Hoskins has elevated to Secretary of State. That's very important when it comes to our elections. Bob has elevated to Congress, replaced Blaine Lukemeyer, as we all know. So we've got our minions everywhere now. And, you know, having Adam Schnelting and Brad Hudson moving over into the Senate, they were members when they were in the House. Now they're coming over to join us. We've got Joe Nicola, who is a brand new member, we think. Even if he doesn't join, which we don't know if he will or not, we think that he's going to align with us on priorities the same way Ben Brown has and a few others at Mike Moon. But no, we're stronger than ever. I do know that last year when Rick Bratton and a number of others were on the ballot, it was said by some in leadership that the Freedom Caucus is dead. Well, we're back.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Better than ever.
Nick Schroer, always great to see you, my friend.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, and come on and keep us updated on where these. You've got some great bills filed here. I hope it does.
Once MoDOT clears all the snow, I'll be coming down to you guys.
So we'll speak to you in a couple months then, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Things are moving slowly.
That's for sure. Awesome. Senator Nick Schroer, thank you.
God bless you guys.
Get more at 971talk.com.